You found a way to at least be a part of the service today. I know we've got a lot of folks kind of, we got a lot of folks staying home by choice. We've got a lot of folks staying home because you have to. And let me just say, I appreciate so much all of our folks that have been exposed to somebody with COVID, or they've tested positive, or they somehow, and you're just taking a lot of great caution. And that's a good thing to do. We've got some folks that never miss church, that it's just killing them to be home each week. But thank you for tuning in, and I'm glad to see you. I want to give you some announcements here, let you know what's happening. And boy, we had an amazing time over Christmas, didn't we? We had a wonderful Christmas Eve service, and it was just a beautiful spirit and a great time. We're already making plans for the next couple of months here in our church. We're going to have a baptism service here, even though it's wintertime. We've got several folks that are waiting to be baptized, and we're also going to have a couple of special services, in particular for people who have lost a loved one. I know we had a lot of that in the last year, and then we're gearing up for Easter, so we're already making plans. We were talking this morning even. We've got big plans prepared for Easter, so we'll get to that. Now, let me let you know what's happening immediately, though. This Wednesday, we'll have our Wednesday evening Bible study like we always do, so please come out 7 o'clock or tune in live, and I'll be starting something brand new this Wednesday, and we'll look forward to that. I apologize for this past week. We were actually going to have I was out of town, and Ben was going to lead that Bible study, but for health reasons, again, he had to stay home, not because he was diagnosed with COVID, but because he'd been exposed. He had been around people, and so he just wanted to be careful, and we decided that was the right thing to do, and so we had no choice but to cancel that because it was just kind of a last-minute thing. But I'll be here this Wednesday evening. He'll still be in quarantine, but I'll be here, and we'll be doing that. And then we could use some folks that could help out Rick. Rick, we prayed for you while you were having surgery. And Rick's back to doing the things he does to take care of this place, but we could use help. We could use some extra teams. I'm right about that, aren't I, Rick? We could use some more folks to take a weekend and begin to just to clean our building. It takes about 2 hours to take care of the building, but if you'll see Rick about that and sign up for that, that would be a great thing. And by the way, those of you at home, let me just say this. Those of you at home, that is actually something if it's just really bothering you not being able to be more a part of things, that is something that you could do. You could get out. There will be nobody else here in the building. You could come in. You could, if you wanted to find a way to serve, you could clean the building, go back home, and you would not be exposed to anybody here. So you just contact Rick, and that would be a great thing. Is that all of our announcements? I think it is. Okay. So let me get into the message here, and I knew that the first day of the year, first Sunday of 2021. I'm so glad I don't have to say 2020 anymore. Aren't you? I'm so glad I don't have to say it. I don't have to talk about it. I don't have to think about it. It's over. And but I don't know where this concept of New Year's resolutions came from. I don't know if you're aware. I don't know if you know the history behind that. I don't know where that started, how it started. But it sort of seems like a natural thing, doesn't it? It sort of just seems like something that is naturally within us. We turn to, and I don't know about you, but my wife and I drove back from North Carolina on New Year's Eve. That was Thursday, right? So on Thursday, we drove back from New Year's Eve, and on New Year's Eve, we got home, and when it hit midnight that night, I don't know what you were doing. We were sleeping. Sound asleep. So the next day, turned into New Year's Day, and the truth is, there really was nothing different about the world between the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021. Well, actually, that's not true. There were a couple of things that did change. There were some states that had some laws, I guess, go into effect that, several states now have legalized marijuana for recreational purposes. Colorado passed a law that says that landlords can no longer use a person's employment as a factor in whether or not they're going to rent to them. The world's going crazy, folks. And of course, states like California and New York, well, they just continue to compete for, the dumbest leadership ever. But nothing really changes, except for that part somewhere inside of us that feels like when we turn to a new year, that it's time to reflect. Now, any day of the year, look, January, 6th or June the 20th, any day is good for us to reflect, right? It's good for us to always be looking at our lives. The Bible tells us we ought to always be walking circumspectly. That means walking around our lives and kind of looking. And so every day is a good day to reflect and maybe see things we need to change. But there's just something, I think maybe God wired us that way. That at the beginning of a new year, When we turn that page, we turn that corner and we begin a new year, there's something in us that sort of says to us, we ought to think about what things need to change in our lives. And so I think God addressed that in some scripture. And we find the book of James through the half brother of Jesus, James, and in James chapter number 4. So basically, here's his take on it, and here's what I think God is telling us. He says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." The verse preceding this, he says, "Look, try not to make plans. Don't plan to go into such and such city and build a business and do all these." And he said, "Look, you really don't know what's going to happen." He said, "You don't know what will happen tomorrow." Now, I think at the beginning of this past year, we're not going to say 2020 anymore, the beginning of this past year, right, everybody thought, yeah, I know what's going to happen. Remember the whole 2020 vision thing that everybody had? But now we all get this, right? We all get God's wisdom now, don't we? I think the whole world gets what God is saying here. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. A few years ago, I preached on this same verse. We were at our old building. How many of you remember when I was preaching about this verse, and I had had Josh Osborne on the front row and had him. You remember that, Billy? He had a vape thing, and he blew that up in the air, and we watched it kind of dissipate. There have been a lot of firsts in this church, haven't there? A lot of things you don't see in very many other places, but that's kind of what it is. He said, look, your life in comparison to the whole world, in comparison to the universe, in comparison to time, it's like a vapor that just, it's there and then it's gone. Now, he's not saying your life doesn't mean anything. What he's saying is you don't have very much time to make a difference. He's saying you're here for a very short time. So be careful about your plans. Be careful about what you do. But even more so, he said, you need to make sure you are using that little span of time as much as you can. So let's continue on. He said, it appears, vanishes away. Verse 15. Let me do a couple other things first. So we all have, so we have this concept here that he's kind of given to us. And we have this understanding. We all have a year that we can look at as the year of our birth. Yes? I was born in 1965. Now, when I say that, people like Julia and Cassie and some of our younger people, our 20-somethings, you know, they're like, wow, dude, that's, okay, pot, that's calling the kettle black. So I was born in 1965. Tim, when were you born? What year?
61.
61, you didn't have to think about it, did you? Didn't have to think about it. Tana, when were you born?
Too old.
Okay, Tana's too old to remember. So, look, Ken, what year were you born?
77.
Casey, what year were you born? See, none of you had to think about that. You know immediately, you know exactly the year that you were born. There's no question in your mind, you know exactly. However, we also all have a year that we are going to die, but none of us know that, right? See, that's when we don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. You know, we also know that, now that is unless Jesus returns, yes? So one of the two things is for sure, here's what we do know for sure. We know that either there's going to be a year that we don't know about that we're going to die, or there's going to be a year that we don't know about yet that Jesus is going to come back. One way or another, though, there's this thing out there that we don't know about. In fact, let me just share that scripture with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So here's what we know. Here's what God tells us. As believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, he said, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, I've talked about this a lot lately. Let me just remind you. A thief comes in the middle of the night, and we look at this verse and we think, oh, man, he's kind of comparing himself to a thief. Yeah, you know what a thief does? A thief comes in and steals what? What is most valuable. A thief comes in and takes what he wants. He doesn't come in and take the garbage. He doesn't come in and take the dirty laundry. He doesn't come in and take that. So when Jesus comes, he's coming to get what's most valuable to him. Okay, there weren't enough amens for that. I said, Jesus is coming to get what's most valuable to him, which is you.
Amen.
If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, those of you at home, Jesus is going to come get you. And by the way, those of you at home, if Jesus comes back during the time of this service, we'll meet you in the air.
Amen.
Okay? We'll be together again. We will be together again. And hopefully we're going to be together again here. Although I would be perfectly okay if Jesus wants to come back and get us all now.
Right, yes.
But the point is, we know that he's going to come as a thief in the night, verse 3, and we don't know when. For when they say, that's the people who do not follow Jesus, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, not you, them. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be taken. We will be what we've used the word rapture. But destruction is going to come upon everyone else. It's labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Here's his point. You're not in darkness. I'm not in darkness. That day should overtake us as a thief. In other words, we should not be caught off guard. Now, how can you not be caught off guard? Well, you're not caught off guard if you're ready and you're watching and you're waiting. Yes?
Yeah.
Julie, I know you're waiting. I know you wake up every morning, probably look at the eastern sky.
Okay.
Waiting, watching, hoping, praying, ready to go. She's got her bags packed, ready to go. Now look, so we're not supposed to be caught off guard, which means that if it were going to be the year 2021, we ought to be looking for that. We ought to be kind of expecting that. He said, you should live your life as if you know. As if you know. In fact, the title of my message is What If? I'll get to that. It's basically, what if it was this year? You know, one year in the future. And again, we don't know. We're going to either die or we're going to be raptured. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Let's finish this up, and then I'm going to get some very practical points. For God did not appoint us to wrath. He said, you're not to be taken off guard. You're not going to see wrath. Look, there are some places where you can go where some Christians believe that Christians will have to go through the first part of the tribulation, that first part of that difficult time when the Antichrist shall rise and things will be going crazy here on earth and all of that. This verse very clearly teaches us that we will leave prior to that time. You with me? You will not, that's right, thank God. We will not have to go through that wrath, but we're going to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10, and last, who died for us that whether we wake, that means if we're raptured, or whether we sleep, whether we're already dead, we should live together with him. Now, here's the point. So one way or the other, there is a year when either I will die or Jesus will come back. You with me? And the same thing applies to you. So here's my question today, and here's the whole message. What if you knew that it was 2021. I'm not asking you to do anything today. I'm asking us all to just imagine. What if you knew? What if God, now he's not going to. He doesn't tell us, and don't listen to anybody who says, I know when Jesus is coming back. No, you don't. Read your Bible. But what if he did tell us? What if he said, Tom, it's going to be 2021. One day this year, you will not see 2022, either because you're going to die or because you're going to be raptured, one or the other. What if you knew that one way or another, 2021 is the year that you see Jesus face to face? So here's my thing. Our kids have had a difficult, difficult school year, haven't they? It's been a crazy, I feel bad for our college graduates that had to go through, you know, they worked their whole lives to walk across a platform in front of thousands and thousands of people. And instead, they walked across the platform in front of thousands and thousands of silhouettes. Have you seen that on these sports things? I mean, it's insane. I don't even know how those athletes play with all that, the fake spectators. But our kids had a tough time. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about school, and I was thinking about our kids and their school. And you know the expression, old school? I'm kind of old school. I know, you look at me and you say, Pastor, you're so cool. And it's so, right, all the young people. Julia tells me that all the time. She says, Pastor, you're just so cool. You know, and, yes, you do. You just don't remember. But I'm kind of old school. You know, and old school math. Remember old school math? It basically was four things, right? What is it? Add, subtract, and divide. So let me just give you old school. If you knew Jesus was going to come back in 2021, or if you knew you were going to die in 2021, if, then I just simply want to ask you four questions. What would you add? What would you subtract? What would you multiply? And what would you divide? So let's just do that. Number one, what would you add? If you knew somehow that Jesus was going to come back, or you knew that you were going to die. Again, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not asking you to sit there and think, okay, what can I do? Don't ask yourself, what can you do? I'm asking you, if you knew for sure that Jesus was coming, what would you like to add If you could, what would you add? Now, Peter had some suggestions, and if you read 1 Peter, and he talks about, now add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge, temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and all those kind of things. But that's kind of, let's be honest, those are kind of intangible things that we have to sit and study and figure out how do all those things apply, and that'd be a great thing for you to do. You can read that in 1 Peter chapter number 1. However, I want to talk more practically. I'm just asking you, what would you add? What would you add to your life? Can I ask you, would you add friendships? If you knew this was the last year of your life, if you knew somehow that you were going to die or you were going to go to, Jesus was going to come back, would you add some friendships to your life right now? I hope you would. Would you consider adding some friendships, adding some relationships, adding adding to the family you choose? We have two families around here, yes? We have the family we're born to, and we have the family we choose. Would you consider adding to that family you choose? If you knew this was it, by the way, I bring you greetings from Harold and AJ. They so much want to be here, and they it's just killing them to not be in church. Last Sunday afternoon, I did a funeral before we left and headed to North Carolina. I did a funeral down in Columbus for one of their relatives, and we think about how fragile life is. We think about that, and they missing these relationships. And this was a family member of AJ's that sort of wasn't even a family member anymore, but it was somebody she had chosen to continue to have as a family member. And they were very close. And that person meant a lot to her, and she meant a lot to them. And that's a wonderful thing. Can I ask you, do you have somebody like that in your life? Do you have people? Look, could you choose some family? Look, children most of the time need more grandparents than what they have. They do. Cassie, you have wonderful grandparents. You got a couple of them sitting in front of you. Jennifer, you have wonderful grandparents. And the other ones, I mean. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you could use more, right? I mean, everybody could use, every child, every young person could use more grandparents. But let me tell you what's more. A lot of grandparents need more grandchildren. We have a lot of grandparents that don't have a grandchild to hold, a grandchild to love on, a grandchild to be close to. They could use some people to sort of bring them into their family. Can I just encourage you, could you bring some people into the family that you choose? We've got a lot of singles in our, we've got a lot of single adults, a lot of middle-aged single adults in our church, more so than the average church on a percentage basis. A lot of them could use a family. A lot of them could use some family. A lot of them could use somebody that brings them into, and that has happened in many cases, but a lot of them could do, and you get the idea. So what would you add? What would you add if you knew? Would you add a church service? Maybe you want to consider adding a church service. Maybe you do Sunday morning, you don't do Wednesday nights. Could you maybe, if you knew Jesus was going to come back, and again, he's not going to come and he's not going to say, you weren't at Wednesday night Bible study. He's not going to do that. But if you knew this was it, if you knew this was the last year, would you maybe add the Wednesday night Bible study? Would you maybe add maybe you come every few Sundays. Maybe you want to add one like that. Anyway, what would you add? Would you add someone sitting beside you? Look around. There's a lot of empty chairs here. A lot of empty chairs. Look around. Would you add somebody sitting beside you? Is that something that you could add to your life in 2021? What would you add? Would you add maybe a regular Bible study? Would you add maybe a prayer time? We're going to be talking about prayer here in the next couple of weeks. Can I just encourage you? If you don't do anything else, before you crawl out of bed or roll out of bed, look, if you jump out of bed, then there's something wrong with you. But if you're like normal people, before you force yourself out of bed, maybe take 20 seconds and say, God, help me to know what you want me to do today. Help me to be a blessing to somebody today. Help me to help someone today. Look, if nothing, just maybe you want to add that to your day. What would you add if you knew that Jesus was going to come back? Would you add, maybe, look, you talk about reading the Bible. How about some other good books? You know there's some other good books in the world, right? Now look, this is a good book. Okay? It's a good book. But there's a lot of good books. I'm going to work on our children in our coming year as I start to design Kids Zone for the next year. And by the way, kids, we will get back to that. I know right now everything's in chaos and most of our family, young families are staying home and all of that. We are going to get Kids Zone kicked back into gear again, and we're going to be going back to the things that we used to do and even better. But I want to encourage our children to read more. I'm proud of my granddaughter, Mia, back there. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm proud of her. She's a reader. And that's kind of going away among our young people. Our young people need to read, and they need to read well. But you know, other good books and so forth. Maybe what would you add? A tradition? Maybe would you maybe add some exercise? Yeah, I know. So, by the way, just so you all know, and for those of you at home, I've been talking about this. Tomorrow morning, I get to go down. I have my first doctor's appointment for this new drug trial. That I'm going to be the first person. I'm going to be the guy that that tells the doctor, reports back to the doctors what all the side effects are of this brand new drug. But I've been off that medication now for 10 weeks, and that's why I'm sitting while I play. And you know, I'm trying to, you know, doing all I can to keep my knees in order because it's bad. But it's, you know, but that's a blessing. But what would you add? I'm looking forward to getting be able to do that again. If this thing works, I would like to get healthier again. And we all need to be working on getting healthy. What would you add? All right, number two, let's move on. What would you add? What would you subtract? What would you subtract? What would you take out of your life that maybe we ought to take out? You know, could it be, look, if we're going to add something to our lives, life is a zero-sum game. You know what I mean by that? Life is a zero-sum game. That means if you're going to add something, you have to subtract something. If you're going to take time to do one thing, you have to take time from something else in order to make time to do that. Could you maybe subtract just a few hours of that online time? I mean, I know how critical it is to the. I know the world needs you to check Facebook as often as you do, so that it doesn't stop spinning. I get that. I know that every time your phone goes off and it's an Instagram notification, I know that you need to check it so that the world doesn't shut down. I get that. Okay. Maybe you could do it a little less. Maybe you could subtract a few hours of online time, a few hours of gaming time, a few hours of this. You know, you figure it out. Like, I'm not asking you to make it. I'm not asking you to come to the altar and say, God, I'm giving up video games. I'm giving up TV. I'm giving up this. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you, if you knew that Jesus was going to come back, if you knew 2021 was the year that Jesus would come back, what would you do differently? What would you subtract if you knew? If you knew, well, shouldn't we be kind of thinking seriously about doing that anyway, even though we don't know? Okay, well, I'm all alone up here. What would you subtract? Would you subtract maybe a bad habit? Would you subtract maybe a bad attitude? Anybody got a bad attitude sitting next to you? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Got a bad attitude? Look, I think 2020 made a lot of bad attitudes. But I think there were bad attitudes before that too. I had some bad attitudes. I've had bad attitudes. Look, should we maybe be considering this bad attitude that I've had, this attitude I've had about work, this attitude I've had about this person, this attitude I've had about this this concept. This, look, the elections are over, and aren't you glad? Amen. Kind of over. It's mostly over, right? It's mostly over. Look, whatever your attitude is, look, maybe that's an attitude that needs to get subtracted from our lives. Get rid of that attitude in our lives, and let's move on to something much, much better. Maybe we need to subtract a grudge. A grudge. Oh, now, Pastor, I just can't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this person did this to me. Could you maybe subtract the balance due on that this year? Could you maybe subtract the balance due on that childhood hurt, that person who hurt you? That person who wronged you, that person who angered you. Look, maybe this is the year we say, you know what? Let's subtract that whole incident out of our lives. Let's just get rid of it, and let's begin something brand new. Look, there's something inside of us, right? We all agree. There's something inside of us that tells us we need to consider this. Right. We need to be looking at our lives, and it's such a weight to carry. A grudge and unforgiveness is such a weight to carry through your lives. It'd be a good year to subtract that. Maybe we all need to subtract some weight. Amen. Not just physically. I mean, look, you can't all have the physique I have. Please just understand that. We all need to subtract some weight physically maybe, but Maybe also some spiritual weight. You know, the Bible says that we ought to lay aside every sin and the weights that so easily beset us. That means things that we carry around. Look, guilt is a weight you don't need to carry anymore. Amen. Did we not sing about His love defending us? If Jesus says you're forgiven, you tell me who on this earth can hold anything over your head. Please tell me. Because the last time I checked, and the last time I heard, or the first time we heard our worship team sing, they were singing about the King of Kings. And I got news for you. A presidential pardon would be an amazing thing for somebody if they got that. But can you imagine getting a pardon by the King of Kings? I mean, there's no place on earth anybody can hold anything against you. Let go of your guilt. I don't care. The other person won't forgive me. It doesn't make any difference. If you've tried to make it right, let go of that guilt. That is not a sin, but it is a weight that you're carrying, and you're going to have a hard time running this race with that weight on your shoulders. Right. So let go of your guilt. Let go of that. What would you subtract? Let me move on. All right. So what would you add? What would you subtract? What would you multiply? Multiply means you take something you already have, something you're already doing that's good, and do more of. Can I just add, if you knew Jesus was going to come back, is there something that you're doing right now that's already good, but maybe you ought to do more of? Something that you're already doing that is making people's lives better, it's making your life better, maybe do some more of that. If you knew that you were going to die, would you maybe give a little bit more time for some things? Maybe you're spending a little time with your family. Would maybe this be a year to spend more time with your family? More time with your family? More time with your family? You know, I know that we're all busy, right? We all say that. And we are all busy. Yes? I mean, we're terribly busy. The world demands so much of us. And you say, well, I wish, Pastor, I had more time for my family. Let me just ask you a question. If you knew you were going to die this year, would you somehow be able to find a little bit more time to spend with your family? Would that change it? I bet it would. Could we maybe multiply that time with our family? Could we maybe spend more time with our church family? More time with the unsaved, the broken, the hurting in our community? Maybe we ought to be spending more time with the people that we need to reach. Lastly, what would you divide? And I'm done with this. What would you divide? To divide something means we share. We divide it up and we share it. Right now, we're living our lives. You know, I've asked, what would you add? What would you subtract? What would you multiply? But in order to do any of those things, mostly we have to divide. We have to divide the resources we have. We have to divide the time we have and share that. So what if you knew Jesus was going to come back or you knew you were going to die this year? What would you share more of? Your time, your life, your love capacity? Do you know that Jesus does something miraculous? Jesus, when we decide we're going to share something, Jesus does not ask us to share a finite amount of something. Instead, by the way, he proved this. He took a boy's lunch one time. And he said, you know, this lunch is only enough for this boy. But that boy was willing to share that lunch, right? Five loaves and three fishes, something like that. It was a bunch of fish and bread. And look, I've been out of preaching to kids too long. I need to get back downstairs and preach to the kids some again, so I get refamiliarize myself. But he took that boy's lunch. That boy was willing to share that lunch. And you know what Jesus did when he began to divide that? Jesus sort of made it last. He fed 5,000 men, adult men. And I would imagine at a fish fry, adult men eat a lot of fish, right? Plus their wives and their children. So here's what happens when you're willing to share your love with people. And you say, well, I can't love that many people. Yes, you can, because God says, if you choose to love other people, I will increase your capacity to love. You share yourself with other people, I will share more with you. I will share more and more. What would you divide? What would you divide? What would you share? Would you share more of with the broken? Here's what I think happens a lot of times in our lives. When we think about sharing when God's concerned. If you knew Jesus was going to come back in 2021 or you knew you were going to die, would it make a difference to how you fund God's work? Here's what I think we do. Remember, I don't know what they do now, But back when most of us were kids, we did something called long division. Remember that? You could look at the answer and you said, I know what the answer is, and the teacher made you write it all out. Right, Casey? Right, Marie? Made you write it all out. You had to still write it all out. And when we did some big long division problem, there was always like a number that was left over. What was that called? A remainder. I wonder if in the way we look at God's work, I wonder if God's not just getting whatever the remainder is. I wonder if we're not putting everything else as a priority. You know, we divide our funds, we divide our time with everything else. We put all of our time, we divide our time up. Well, I need this for this and this for work and this and this and this and this. And God, whatever's left over, that's what I'll give you. God gets the remainder. Boy, get quiet in here again. I think that's how our money goes sometimes. Again, we don't preach about money. You know I don't preach about money a lot. It has been a long time since I have forgotten to take the offering, hasn't it? Because I have people back there that put it up on the screen and remind me. Look, we don't major on money here, and I don't try to talk about money much, but the truth of the matter is, when it comes to God's work, if you knew and if I knew that Jesus was going to come back this year, would that make a difference in how I fund his work? Would he get more than whatever's left over, whatever's in my pocket? I think this is how we do it sometimes. You know, we come here on Sunday and we're digging in our pockets and it's like, oh, I've got some you know, a couple of lifesavers and a dollar bill and some lint, and that's what God gets? I need a pen that I can drop at a time like that. Look, all I'm saying is we're talking about old school math here. In 2021, if we knew that Jesus was going to come back, what would we do? What would we divide? What would we share a little differently? Would we share our love? Would we share? Look, would you share your skills? Our band is depleted. And Dale's leaving us tomorrow. So it's just me now. We have been decimated by COVID and all that. And, you know, do you have some skills? Do you have some talents? I know there's some talent out in this room. Our worship teams you can join a worship team. Look, do you have some skills? Do you have some talent? Are you sharing that with anybody? Are you sharing that with anybody who's not within earshot of you taking a shower at home? Can you sing? And you share that. You share that. What if Jesus was going to come back? What if you knew this was the year that Jesus would come back? You know, that also means your burdens. If you knew that this was the year Jesus was going to come back or you were going to die, would you divide and share your burdens also? You know, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what Jesus was saying? He wasn't asking you to take on a burden. He was saying, no, take on my yoke. A yoke is what helps you pull the burden you have. Are you grieving? Are you hurting? Jesus said, I don't want you to pull that burden by yourself. Get in the yoke with me. Let me help you. Let me help you with your grief. Let me help you with your guilt. Let me help you with the burden you're carrying. Jesus just wants you to get in a yoke with him so he can pull that with you. But he also then said, bear one another's burdens. He wants us to bear each other's burdens. But you have to be willing to share that. We need to divide your... Wouldn't you like to divide your burden up and let someone else help carry it? Ken, if they come on Friday night, would you help them carry that burden? And all of our friends, look, maybe this is the year. Can I just put a challenge out there for all of you at home and for everybody here? I dare you to force Ken into spreading out all over this building for Recovering Hope. That's the support group that meets here on Friday night, 7 o'clock. I dare you to come out in so many numbers, he has no choice but to start opening up rooms. Well, you're a hard crowd to motivate today. Maybe it'd be different if I just tell you I'm going to go till noon. Now can I get an amen? That's what I thought. But you know, sharing our burdens with one another is the only way that some will make it through this year. Look, sharing a burden of an addiction with our Friday night group is the only way some are going to stay sober this year. It's the only way. Is the only way they're going to stay clean or get clean. But maybe they won't come unless you bring them. So if you know somebody, the point is, if we knew Jesus was going to come back, and I know we don't, I know we don't. Or if we knew we were going to die this year, 2021 is that year. What would you do differently? What would you do? What would you add? What would you subtract? What would you multiply? What would you divide? Just a simple challenge this morning, and I hope that we'll all take that.